with the citizen comments. The citizen comments. Seeing none, we'll move on to any reports of committee members or statements.
This would be an appropriate time for you to make a comment or two, Mr. Chairman.
Well, why don't we see that for the end?
I'd be happy to do it. Perfect.
Approval of, no more statements or nothing else? Approval of the minutes?
So.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And the next item of, is the sheriff's request to redirect bonded funds.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is a memo asking to reappropriate some funds to put towards the new radios that, were purchased for the jail, specifically for the man-down capabilities that the new portable radios have the capability of. We were unaware that it needed new software to upgrade so we can have that man-down capabilities in both facilities. Currently, we only have man-down capability at the KCDC. We don't have any man-down capability here. Basically, man-down is if your radio goes on the side, it sets off an alarm. So control knows where the radio is and who's got it. And the funds that we would like to reappropriate are basically what was left over from the $200,000 that was bonded for the new radios, which is $37,494, and an additional $21,702 that from two different areas. One was for the software upgrade for the jail control, which we learned that was it's included in a service contract with sergeants for the jails already in the two-year contract. So we wouldn't have had to spend that when we found out that the upgrades were already included in that two-year contract. And then $6,117 for a metal detector that we had budgeted for the Hubers. And the reason we budgeted, or the reason we requested that was because the Hubers, due to space limitations, we were mixing Hubers that go in and out of the jail every day with the regular inmates. And it was just an added security issue where we use the metal detectors when they came back in, because it's more important that when we're mixing inmates from the outside with ones on the inside, to be 100% sure that they don't have anything on their person.
All this money we got laying around, there and there and everywhere, you got enough to do it, right? Kidding.
Further discussion?
The I don't quite understand the $21,792. You're saying that's part of a contract with the sergeants?
No, the we budgeted $15,000 for a software upgrade. We found out that that was included in the sergeant's contract, the two-year service agreement. The upgrade.
Sergeants is a company.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. SGTS. I'm sorry.
That helps. I'm thinking, how do you build that into a contract, employee contract? And then the only other question is, I guess, how did we miss the fact that we needed to upgrade our software to go to this new radio?
Well, we have managed ability right now on the analog radios out of KCDC. They have a system for that. These new radios are digital radios. We bought the more expensive, ended up being cheaper than the lower grade radios because we got a bigger rebate. That's when we bought the radios at the end of the year. These radios that have man down capability, they came with a $1,500 rebate per 10 that we bought. So it ended up being a $15,000 savings compared to a $10,000 savings if we would have bought the other ones. So they were pretty much equal to what the other radios were. So we bought the ones with the man down because we didn't want to downgrade basically what we had already at the KCDC. Our thoughts was now we can have both facilities with the man down. We did not realize, and I guess it's shame on us for not pressing Motorola more to know that, hey, with this man down capability, you're going to need to upgrade your software to make this work. We didn't know that until maybe a month ago.
So we have the radios, right?
Have the radios. It doesn't, if it's not approved, it's just that the radios will work, they just won't have the man down capabilities. That's all. The radios will, but the system won't.
Right. And then you anticipate, you say here you'll look at this metal detector in the 2015 budget.
to see if we really need it, because now we have electric monitoring, so more inmates are going out, in and out on that. We're monitoring them with that. And we're not housing the Hubers with general population inmate anymore. We're able to isolate the Hubers, so they just stay with themselves.
Okay.
All right, further discussion? This does not require county board approval, but there is a signature.
It does need county board approval, so we're going to have to, I have a signature page, we're going to have to do a resolution.
Oh, wait, I thought you just said a moment ago.
They do not have one here, and when I'm looking at it, reviewing it, they're actually changing.
A budget?
They're moving it from one account to another. I have it right here. It's in there.
All right.
But we'll have to do a quick little resolution, put on the cut front of it. I do have a signature page, so.
All right, does the committee want to, we can act on it, if you want to then put it on the board agenda and then sign it before the meeting? Is that what you want to do?
Well, we could sign it now, we'll just write up the quick resolution that we're modifying.
Essentially with the same language.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you.
I missed the motion in the second.
I'll second it.
Thank you.
But then maybe my hearing is going, I know it's going.
All right, let's go on then to the public works on the parking lot gates and entry system, and who's going to present that? All right.
The parking lot gates system is at the public safety building. There's a lot behind the public safety building that is reserved for law enforcement. It has a sign on it that says reserved for law enforcement. However, general public in many cases decides that they don't need a permit to park there. So we had a request to close this off and make it more strict, as we do over at the parking garage next door, and the small lot that's on the surface lot that's next to that on 10th Street. The plan for this is to remove the two entrances that are on behind the public safety building and put one new entrance off of 10th Street for two reasons. One, it's not enough room vertically to have a car in there while you're swiping your badges or your fobs. And then this way we could have just one, so we only have to get one gate. We've gotten quotes for that. The software that's associated with the gate, we want to be able to use the same software that goes with the gates that are already on the parking garage and the surface lot, so that when people enter, when the people get programmed in, they can use the same badge and the same fobs that they have now. Otherwise, if we got a different manufacturer, a different software system, we'd have to be dealing with two different IDs or two fobs. So the request is to use the same system that is already in use in the parking garage and the surface lot.
All right, thank you. Anything further, any other discussion of the stories? There's a motion from Supervisor O'Day to approve. Is there a second?
Yes.
Any further discussion?
Yeah, I got a question. I got a question on that up one. Judiciary and law supposed to be on the up one too?
Yes.
I didn't see any signatures on that change either. Did they approve it already?
Well, it only needs facilities and
I'm talking about the one before. The one on the.
Yeah, they were on there.
Were they on there?
They were.
Okay.
All right, further discussion on the resolution.
Just a question, how big an issue is this? Meaning, you know, we're going to relocate entrances and buy gates for $25,000. Where'd it go?
Yeah. The actual gates and installation, I think, is $59,000. The money was budgeted. We're just asking for a sole source so that we can get this particular brand of gate and software controlling.
Well, sole source exceeding $25,000.
I any sole source over $25,000 has been approved by the board for.
So what is the total cost then to buy the equipment and relocate access points?
It is just shy of $60,000, which has been budgeted and it's within budget.
So I obviously didn't pay attention to budget time. I mean, how big of an issue is it that we got to spend 60 grand on it? Meaning, if you know, this is the police station, the sheriff's department, for crying out loud, with vehicles in there, signs. I mean, we got people that are just that, they're going to pull in there? And we have it at such a rampant, and you know, my issue is, I'll ask the question, I don't care if I'm done in an hour and a half or not. You know, we keep spending. I didn't realize this was in the budget, or I'd ask the questions at that point in time.
The request to put the gates came from public safety, sheriff's department and stuff like that. I don't know the extent of what kind of violations they have in there. Just working through it as the facilities department, but.
Your comment a minute ago was, I realize, humorous or meant to be, but you know.
I know that sometime there was discussion of starting issuing tickets and stuff like that.
Starting? Why we wouldn't be ticketing and towing first and see if that deters it. Instead, we're going to spend 60 grand to.
We spent a lot of money on gates. Are the gates being used for the other parking lot? Or is that where?
Yes, the gates for the parking lots are used.
Employees can park there and the general public gets to park there, but they have to pay. Is that how it works?
That is correct.
Okay. So this is another gate for a different parking lot for the sheriff's.
The one immediately west.
And so no public goes into parking there, so we spent 25 grand to keep the public out, but we could give them a ticket if they did, right?
Pardon?
We could give the public a ticket if they parked there, couldn't we?
The sheriff could come down.
Could you put a sign up that says?
City would, I think.
Could you put a sign up that says police vehicles only?
There is a sign already.
And that doesn't deter?
They've been ignoring the signs.
Huh? Doesn't deter them?
It doesn't, not all of them.
So then you write them a ticket, right? Does that deter them? How much is a ticket?
I do not know.
It seems to me why we got to spend 25 grand on a parking lot that's marked police vehicles only. That doesn't make any sense.
60 grand.
Check.
Well, 60, okay, whatever. It was 25, 60.
Check, do you have any information?
Mr. Chairman, I think you need a little background on this and help Mr. Mason.
Come on.
This started last year, and the issue of the parking lot is that's a public safety building. Obviously, it's right next to the train station, the commuters kind of. And there is sign, as there always has been. Problem is, the county does not issue parking stickers anymore. And they used to issue every new employee a parking sticker, which put in the back window of their car. That way, when the deputies go through the lots to check them out, they'll know who can be authorized to park there and who can't. That hasn't happened now for several years. That way, we don't know who's in the lot and who's not. It would be an officer to have to go in and run every plate in the parking lot to figure out who should be in that lot and who shouldn't. So the question came is being overtaken by the general public and by the commuters, because now we put the gates up the parking ramp. And of course, they can't park there anymore unless they get a pass, so they park in the north lot, which makes the public safety building employees trying to find somewhere else to park. So the issue was approached to us, how can we solve this from the county executive's office? And they asked me, and I said, well, the thing we can do is restart issuing the parking permit. And that way, at least we'll have an idea of who's supposed to be parking and who isn't. But that's a perpetual cost. It keeps going on and on and on. You got to renew all employees. So the other option was, although it's upfront costly, in the long run, it pays off because you gate the lot. That way, only people that have permission to get a lot can get in. And that's how this all came about. This was the discussion last year. But the issue was an enforcement issue. And as we all know, signage means nothing. That's the problem. We can post everything. 30-minute car parking doesn't mean 30 minutes. It means until I get a ticket. Parking that lot doesn't mean anything unless we know how to issue the citations. So enforcement's an issue. That's why we had trouble for enforcement in the parking ramp until the gates were installed, because there were no more stickers and we couldn't figure out who was who. And that's how this all came about. So that's the background on it.
Can't you just reinstitute the sticker system?
That's the county executive's decision, Mr. Chairman, not the sheriff's department. We don't issue the tickets, the stickers. That comes from the personnel issued the stickers. Maybe Mr. Riedel can talk on it, but that was stopped a couple years ago.
So these are more than police cars, squad cars.
These are just personal cars.
No, but who's authorized to stay there? Just police cars?
Public safety building employees. These are their personal cars that they come to work in. That was, that north parking lot was designed for their part. It's not for police cars, it's for personal transportation. That's what that's about.
So you don't know who's who there?
We don't unless we run through the lot and run every license plate. The sheriff's department is responsible for enforcement of parking courthouse complex. And we have deputies that go out, but they'll have to go to each car and run them to see who it belongs to. And since we don't know who the names are of all the employees, it would be a nightmare trying to figure out who's supposed to be here and who's not.
But if they had the sticker, you then issue a ticket to the... For a car that didn't have a sticker.
Right, exactly. If they don't have a sticker on the car, then we can put a citation on. And that's what we used to do.
And you got to police that part of it to make sure they got a sticker. That's going to be tight too, right?
Well, yeah, but our officers in the conveyance unit do that. That's part of their job in the county complex, to go to the parking lots to make sure. But now with the gated lot, we don't have to do that anymore unless we got a personal complaint. And the gates are controlled. It runs up to the detentions, to the pretrial control center. And they're the ones who monitor the gates and make sure they're operational, who gets in. So that's kind of where we're at with it.
Well, for the record, I have the same county board parking placard that I was given in 1994. So I don't think it's a crazy cost to buy stickers to give an employee when they get hired, and they can take it with them when they leave. You know, it just seems to me we're taking a double-barrel shotgun to a rabbit hunt.
Further discussion? What's the committee's pleasure? Seeing no motion, we'll move on to the next item.
I believe you had a motion.
Yes?
Didn't, I think John had a motion.
Oh, I missed that.
Did I?
Oh, I'm sorry, okay, I didn't hear that.
Did we get a second?
No?
Yeah.
I'll second. I'll second.
I
did.
They don't want to admit it now, does it appear?
All right, any other discussion on it?
That's the county's next budget.
All right, why don't we have a roll call on it, because I can give some decisions. John?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Yes.
Bill?
Aye.
I'm sorry, Aaron?
Yes.
Mark?
No.
All right, pass this.
I think you got to hold your nose.
So careful.
The chair will, aye.
We're going to make the motion to approve it on the county board floor, speaking in its favor.
You will.
Supervisor Rose?
Vice chairman of the committee.
That's me.
Yeah.
Chairman?
You better be there to explain it to everybody.
I voted no.
No.
So did Mark.
Okay.
We'll move on to the next item on the agenda.
What happened to all the fiscal conservatives we had on this committee?
This is the Department of Transportation grant.
Yeah, this is a resolution authorizing the submission of Wisconsin Department of Transportation Facilities for Economic Assistance grant application. It's also known as a T grant, and what a T grant is used for is to assist municipalities in highway or road improvements that are necessary to accommodate developments, whether particularly business developments that are going to locate in the community. They're typically used for capacity improvements on highways. For an example, a T grant was used to improve Highway Q at the U Line site. T grant was used to improve Highway N at Gordon Foods site. In this case, it involves KTR Capital Partners, who is the owner and developer for the Amazon project. And as part of that project, a transportation and analysis was completed, and certain improvements were determined to be needed for two reasons. One is to accommodate the additional traffic by the employees, and second, to accommodate the additional traffic generated by trucking. In that traffic impact analysis, an improvement that was identified was The increase in capacity of Highway S from Highway N to Highway H. We subsequently did a cost estimate for those improvements, and that cost came in to, at around $1.5 million. We also identified from that transportation analysis was improvements on the ramp on I-94. So this T-grant application will be a joint application by the county and the state to do improvements. The state will fund their portion of the grant. The county will fund the portions on County Trunk Highway S. There's a few important parts of this grant application that I think you need to be aware of, and particularly you need to be aware that this grant, this resolution is before you tonight only because the state requires a resolution attached to the application. This at by no means allocates any county funds to this project. That would be done at a future time through a municipal agreement with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, and that funding would be go through our normal budget process in the CIP that of course we're going to be starting soon. So part of the resolution is the county is required to fund 50% of the cost of the improvement, and then the state of Wisconsin will fund the other 50%. So at $1.5 million, the county contribution will be $750,000. Kenosha County is also required to sign a job guarantee with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. What that does is because the state is allocating these funds to Kenosha County for improvements on a county trunk highway, they want a guarantee that jobs are actually going to be created as part of the development that's associated with this. The state of Wisconsin actually puts a dollar value on each job, and that dollar value is $5,000. So we're between the county project and the state project, we're asking for $1 million in state funds for T grants. So if you take $1 million, you divide that by $5,000 that they value each job, we need to guarantee that Amazon is going to create 200 jobs for the next 7 years, and that's the guarantee that we're making. So I think it's been pretty well realized the number of jobs that Amazon has projected in the community. You know, I think it's, we've seen numbers well over 1,000. I don't think that the risk to the resident of the county is very great at all, that we're guaranteeing 200 jobs for a period of 7 years, but in fact that's what we are doing. So if in fact we get the grant and for some reason only 199 jobs were created, we'd have to pay back $5,000. If only 198 jobs were created, we'd have to pay back $10,000. So there is a payback involved in the guarantee. The other components of the resolution is that Kenosha County will administer the transportation improvement project. Of course, the Department of Public Works would do that, and that we would comply with all state, local, and federal regulations in the design of that capacity improvement.
All right, thank you. Discussion?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion?
It's a quick question. Is there no reason to specify what it is we're constructing with that money? Meaning we don't mention the highway here at all.
Improvement is identified in the transportation improvement transportation improvement analysis, and that's where it is designated on Highway S. It isn't directly in the resolution, though.
Has the Public Works Committee approved?
Yes, at the Monday night meeting, unanimously approved the resolution.
All right, was that?
Yeah.
All right, any other discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Passes, thank you.
Thank you.
The services report. Oh, I'm sorry, we skipped the number nine. The natural resources grant application.
Hey, this is a resolution. I'm requesting permission to submit for a State of Wisconsin stewardship grant to put the basic infrastructure into Katy Park, which amounts to what we're calling the dam parking lot up off of Katy by the dam. The main road in, a small parking lot about halfway in, and a boat launch parking lot, a boat launch, a handicap fishing pier, and underwater scuba diving platforms. The parking lot on KD basically has become a safety issue in the town of Wheatland with one accident up there last June. And near misses with kids and fishermen crossing Highway KD, so that's why we're asking for that. This project is a 50-50 grant. The application deadline is May 1st. We would probably hear who we're going to be getting an award on July 31st with the actual award, if we were going to receive it at the end of December. We do, there is a cost breakdown in here of what everything will run with our, what it says, it shows $480,373 in the county's match. Right now, we have been talking on the side with a sponsor that manufactures construction equipment that at this point is saying that they would possibly do the grading and excavating, and that would lower, that we could use that as our part of the match and would lower the cost of the county to about $320,000. Again, it's talks, it's not solid, but I believe that will happen. And again, we do not have a money source in the budget this year for this grant. It would have to come in to be placed in the 2015 budget once we are notified that we are eligible to receive the grant.
Discussion. Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion?
So this is, if you get this grant, it'll have to come back to the board for approval on any funding.
Yes.
Any funding at all?
Yes.
No engineering, nothing of the end.
Right.
Further discussion? Yeah.
Was this talked about on Monday night also?
Yes.
Okay. What was the result of that? What was the result?
Unanimous.
Okay.
Further discussion? I'd say none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. We'll circulate this. And
thank you.
Thank you. We have the Joint Services Software Report. Tom.
Good evening. The selection process continues in regards to the software. We have recently completed vendor demonstrations. We had three vendors come in and they put on demonstrations of their software. Each demonstration was approximately 3 days. We have an evaluation team in place. That evaluation team is members from the Sheriff's Department, Police Department, Joint Services, as well as subject matter experts from each of those agencies. We had anywhere between 10 to 20 people at these vendor demonstrations. From there, we eliminated one of the vendors, so we now have two as finalists. And we are going to site visits. The site visits are looking at these softwares as they are in being implemented by the various law enforcement agencies. We traveled, they left at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I got back about 5:30 this afternoon. The site visit team are also members of the Sheriff's Department, Police Department, and Joint Services. All the different agencies are engaged, open-minded, and I believe that all looking and putting a full effort into this selection process. Once we determine a single vendor by this evaluation team, a recommendation will go to the steering committee, which is set up, again, it's a Sheriff's Department member, Police Department, Joint Services, County IT, and City IT. And then from there, that recommendation will go to the Joint Services Board. The timeline for this is we hope to finish up the site visits in the next week. From there, the evaluation team will meet with the Delta Works consultants. They will come up with a final vendor recommendation that will go to the steering committee. From steering committee to Joint Services Board, we'll enter contract negotiations. Contract negotiations are estimated to be 3 to 6 months because of how large the system is. And from there, we hope to move on towards implementation. Obviously, there's a resolution by the county board that we need to receive their approval before funding, and we will do that as well. I'd be happy to address any questions that anybody may have.
Bill?
Just in the methodology, it sounds like you come down to a final candidate and then you enter into negotiations. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Is there a particular reason that's done rather than not pursuing a twin track of having negotiations with each of the two finalists? And then you can get cost to benefit as you go. Is there any particular rationale for that?
The recommendation from the the consultant is to maintain the integrity of the process. We're not releasing any names, and we would enter negotiations with the one that we believe to be the best suited. If there were some failure in those negotiations, we still have the option to go back to the other vendor and go about doing negotiations with them. So we are essentially doing that, just not simultaneously.
Of course, that is, but if you come down to a finalist, and they know they're the finalist, their willingness to be able to negotiate not only price, but terms, different things, I would think is limited. So, I mean, you've got the recommendation of Delta Works, which is our agent that's working for us. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Have we ever seen past precedent where it has occurred, where there's a twin track, both being pursued at the same time? Do we know that?
I have had discussions with Delta Works, and part of it is as we go into the recommendation, we're looking at the one software company that we believe to truly meet all of our needs. And so that would obviously be the one that we would like to go with. They have also done a cost analysis, and in their estimation, and they've been doing much of this, the cost are fairly pared down to what will be the end result as we go through negotiations. Much of the negotiations, we have over 6,000 functional elements to this, and those all have to be negotiated into the contract.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, your reply is, yes, it could be done from a technical standpoint, but past practice and what we're currently engaging is not likely to yield that, is that?
That's correct.
That
fair?
Yes. Thank you.
All right, further discussion, Mark?
Well, we've already received bids from everybody, correct?
That's correct.
Inclusive of financial dollars, in fact.
That is correct.
So technically, you're probably not negotiating price as much as after your due diligence, you may be tweaking what it is your expectations are and what will be functionality, timing, whatever the case might be.
I believe it's a fair assessment, yes.
So generally speaking, those negotiations are going to be working off of the base bid that you've already gotten.
Yes.
And are we within budget?
Yes.
And are we within budget as far as all of the engineering and consulting costs go at this point in time? Because before you answer that, I'll tell you, I don't know how we can be. because we are at a point right now where the system was supposed to be, number one, operational. Number two, if it wasn't operational, it was going to be being implemented as we speak. And now we're talking about probably 2 months before you're ready to start negotiating, just based on committee schedules and meeting dates and whatever else. And then you've got 3 to 6 months to negotiate it before you, then you've got lead time to, or you won't start this implementation until 2015.
That may be correct.
So I don't know how you could still be within budget with your consultant costs and soft costs up front if we're, what I see is a minimum of a year behind here.
Consultant costs were fixed and they were paid out of the joint services budget in 2012. So those are outside of the $3 million, which has been estimated. The remaining costs, I believe, are going to be very, very close to that $3 million when all is said and done. There are some costs which still need to be negotiated. We're in the process of looking at a project manager. I put out an RFP, received that back. I know what other agencies have played project managers. I have not seen these yet, so they are an unknown. But from what has been standard in the industry, I believe they will fit into that $3 million window.
Well, you know, I'm going to urge the committee, whomever the committee is, and the county board as a whole, to do your due diligence when this comes to you, because and not to diminish it, because it's significant in terms of what we're looking to accomplish, what we need to do here. But the play will be, it's a officer safety, public safety, life safety issue. Here's the bill. Here's what we decided to do. Vote on it. Let's move on. And I just have my reservations that it's taking us this long to get to where we are, and maybe at the end of the day it's just part of the process. But, you know, I say that based on some conversations that you and I have had. I say that based on what it appears to be. You wouldn't be here tonight if I didn't ask for this. I don't really need it, obviously. All this whole damn thing's being done in secrecy. Yet the responsibility lies with the chairman of the county board right now. This refuses to bring this board, keep this board abreast of what's going on with this particular project. I hear that it's going to be very, very close to the $3 million. That means it's going to be very, very close, but over, is the way I read it. And at this point, I'm just not convinced that it can't be. So I really hope this board continues to be diligent about it. I get the fact that we have to do this, and we're behind on it. We should have done it years ago. But I will continue to have my reservations until I see where this comes in and ultimately what we do. The other last question I have is, there's also been some disagreement, maybe not total alignment in terms of functionality, what we want to accomplish. One of the big pieces was the jail component of it. Where do we sit with that right now?
The people that have been representing the Sheriff's Department said they have been engaged throughout all of it. They are Janice Belanda from the jail, Captain Apker, and actually Steve Baranis, and they are very open-minded looking at it. I couldn't ask for more cooperation than I'm receiving right now, so I'm very pleased with that. We're evaluating it, we're going forward, and then eventually we'll see where that comes up when we come to a vote by the evaluation team.
Can I ask the chief deputy if you had to make a decision today, would you upgrade the jail system along with the implementation of the balance of the software? And listen to this, please, because I think this is absolutely critical that we don't ignore this right now. But at the same time, you know, I don't run the place, so I get it.
Well, I agree with Joint Service Director Gethner the fact that this thing started 2 years ago. And my stumbling block was, and he wasn't involved with it at the time, was how it all started. And it was a very hasty thing that was being done. Talk was that vendor was going to be chosen in 6 months, and we're going to be doing it having a new system 6 months by the end of the year, and I said, somebody's dreaming, because it's too extensive. And here's the big issue. There's no other county in the state of Wisconsin that functions this way. We have three main entities, city police, sheriff's department, and county fire. We're as close to being a metro system that you can get without metro. We all keep individual identities, but we use joint services to complete five major functions for all departments. If this was just the sheriff's department alone, and we were going for an upgrade and upgrading what we were doing, our dispatchers, whatever, probably not. Because our needs are different than the police department, and they're different than, way different than the fire department. We use five entities on this thing. We use jail management system, we use civil process, and we use patrol, CAD. We use everything there is to use with it. Where the Kenosha Police Department uses, their biggest thing is CAD, dispatch, and what. They don't have anything to do with the jail or civil process. So that really concerns us, because that's a huge part of what we do, especially since we house federal inmates. So our requirements are quite extensive, and that's why we look at it very, very close, what was being done. There's no question about it. The technology we're using from 1985, it's outdated. The only plus point on the whole thing is that we have a source code, and the source code allows you to make changes at will, no matter how you do it, and we have 24-hour IT service. That's a big plus for anybody. So we were very reluctant to let that go, unless, and I'll use your words, from before your due diligence is done. Well, under Mr. Gentner, due diligence has been much greater than under the former director, which we appreciate. Do we always see eye to eye on it? No. And Tommy and I have had words on that. They've always been cordial. We always hit each other. But that's good. But the issue is, good, bad, or indifferent, we are moving forward. And they are looking at it very close. Janice Belanda, who is our resident expert on, she is part of this big programming, what we need to accommodate federal inmates and all the requirements that we have with it. And so they're looking at it very, very close. In the end, it may come out that one of the options is that we can upgrade everything, but we're not going to upgrade the jail. We just can't find anything that's going to accomplish what we need to do. But it may find out that we can. We can have a system, and it's going to work just fine. So, I've had to do some mind-opening on this, too. But I've been very resistant about changing the jail, because I was when the first one was implemented in 85, and I know how much it means to have a source code. And nobody gives those things away. And the reason they gave it away was because they couldn't fix their problems. So they said, here, just take the source code. And we've been living like that ever since. However, time has come for change. We understand. And as the process is going, I believe that today, if you give me this last year, Supervisor Molinaro, I said, there's no way. I'm not going to change. I'd suck my feet in the ground. However, after a whole year, I pulled myself out of the process, because I realized I'm not helping this process. I was too resistant to move forward with it, considering what I was seeing. It's changed. And I'm trying to change with it, and I see that they are making site visits, and they're looking at this very extensively. So I'm kind of optimistic that we're going to get something out of this. But the former consultant they had, less, in my opinion, up to the task, always made comments like, we'll find you something just as good. And I said, if you're going to find me something just as good, then I don't want it. But then I'm not going to change. So that's all changed. That whole attitude's changed. So would I change it today? No, I think I'd let the process go and see where we're going with it. I'm interested in seeing what's next. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, he came about as close to answering that question as I thought you were ever going to get. obviously there is some cooperation going on here. At the end of the day, I wouldn't tell you save my life that I can make that decision. Clearly, that's a decision you guys have to make. But it's clear to me that you're in a different place than you were. And all I'm asking is that when it's all said and done, we have to think beyond how long you're going to be there or whomever else is going to be in the position they're going to be. If you're going to spend that kind of money today, spend it for the next 20 years, like you're working off of a 1985 platform. I guess it'd be 30 years, right?
And I will say this, and I think sometimes people lose fact or lose sight of this fact because of how we operate with three major entities, all with different requirements. If we just did patrol investigations, this would have been done a year ago. No problem. It would have been. We were all been on the same sheet of music, but it's not. The KPD doesn't have an interest in the jail and cell process, and they shouldn't. It's not their business. It's just our business. And the fire department, they don't do any patrol. And so their whole interest is completely different, too. So trying to get all three together and come up with a software that's going to meet all the different needs, it's a difficult task. It really, truly is.
Well, again, you're clearly in a different place than you were a year ago.
Oh, yeah, a year ago.
That's obvious.
It's over, yeah.
Thank you. That's all.
All right, well, thank you, Chuck. Therapy did well.
I'm on my medication. I'm fine.
Good. It's a testimony to change. Good man.
That's all that weight.
Yeah. All right. All right. Any other discussion?
What?
Yeah, go.
Just some questions as we, you know, winnow down to these two final candidates and so forth. How robust are the proposals, at least from what you know so far, about training and use of the system? I mean, is that included in these packages? Is that an add-on? How is this?
The training is included in that, and part of the process was reference checks, and we did some extensive reference checks, not to the places that we're going to go to site visits, but other places, and it was eye-opening. We called up some agency and said, you implemented this, how did it go? And everybody has been open and honest. And one of the things that is truly there is you truly need to train on this. And we may have looked at 20 hours of training per dispatch. Now we're looking at 40 hours per dispatcher. Like I said, the information has been opening. And just to speak on the how long this process has been, we've gone to some places and they implemented a system in 6 months and they are regretting it to this day.
I'm sure.
So I believe the process is, I'm as anxious as anybody. I see that our feet are not dragging how long the process is. So I really wanted to move along. Training is a huge issue.
Do each of the vendors offer on-site training? They'll come to your place and you actually do it as opposed to sending people out to a not very realistic situation. You want it right here in your own backyard. That's how you want to be.
Yep, there are a couple of different training formats for communications because it is so hands-on. The trainers come here and they train each of the telecommunicators in a block of training. We believe it's going to be a 40-hour block. For some of the other modules, the trainers come here and we do training, and then we have a trainer on staff. Our record supervisor will then train the record staff. And that's a 24-hour or 40-hour block, depending upon the different modules that we're talking about. So there's a couple of different training philosophies there. They're all included in the vendor bids.
The last question I'll leave up before we go. In terms of a situation where the system is not performing properly, crash, malfunction, whatever, do either of these vendors have 24/7 support where they'll send someone out on site and they'll get you up if necessary?
Both of them have 24-hour customer service, and from what I understand, much of it is done either remotely or over the phone. They have the ability to log in remotely and fix whatever the problem is. Again, the vendor demonstrations, or excuse me, the reference checks have indicated that these companies, these law enforcement agencies, are very, very pleased with the companies as far as vendor service.
One last thing. When DeltaWorks makes their recommendation, their consultant, are they officially over or do they carry on once we take delivery of our product? How does that work?
Their contract is phase one and phase two. Currently we are in phase one. My hope is that we are able to bring them into phase two, and they would work along with the project manager to implement this whole system. They are not an on-site project manager, but they put together the framework of the project management, and then they would work with us, our project manager, whoever that person is, to do the boots on the ground project managing here.
Are we contracted with them for phase two, or is that yet undetermined?
That is yet to be undetermined. I have that it just hasn't been implemented yet.
That's fine. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Any other discussion? All right, seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Good night. We have the bill. It's been signed there. The next item is the resolution on the carryover, and that's you, Al.
Kathy's good.
Kathy?
Right. The resolution for carryovers and annual closeout from 2013 to 2014. Do I read through the resolution? No. Okay.
No, that's all right. I think they're mostly interested in the attachment.
What the attachment that you would be approving with the resolution is a page that it's right after the resolution. I'm going to go through those. The first one is $100,000 to increase budget for classification and compensation review due to increase in scope to include additional employee groups. Right. We currently have $50,000 budgeted for this project, and the scope has changed to include additional employee groups.
We're talking, this attachment is, should say 2013.
Ooh.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Would, let me just cross it. How is that?
Yeah.
If you look, the column headings are correct, so that helps.
So it's 13 to 14.
Yes.
Yeah.
Next one, there were two high-profile homicide trials expected to take place in 2013, but they were rescheduled, and they need to carry over the expert witness fees for $26,466. Facilities, we have contractual services with unfinished projects, HVAC and generator capacity. The studies were budgeted for 2018 but have not been completed. That's $30,000. Public safety building equipment maintenance projects. This was the firing range. It's a one-time maintenance to remove lead.
Yeah.
That's $13,000. Want to carry that over for to complete that in 2014. The Sheriff's Department has in the emergency management exercise costs of $1,199 to carry over for exercises in the new year. The next department is Department of Aging and Disability. There's money that they have a loan closet, which is medical equipment like walkers and disabled equipment, and they have a kind of a reused recycling kind of area. They these things, and they have this $2,983 that they've earned from those pieces of equipment. They want to use those to keep that within that small project. The next one is capital projects in the parks capital outlay. There are parks vehicles that there were, we had some unspent funds. We'd like to transfer that from Fund 411 to Parkland Development. That's $1,862. There's the parks, there's, I'm sorry, Jim, you want to talk?
Yeah. Those two items, the parks vehicles and the parks machinery equipment, there was a pickup truck, there was some mowing equipment. When we purchased the items, we had some unspent funds left over. So we'd like to keep those funds and transfer them to the Parkland Development Fund. The next two items, underneath capital projects for facilities, we had budgeted a couple years ago for a study of the towers. The one on 45 and 50, and the other one up here on 60th Street, there was a $20,000 budget. They started to spend some of the money and realized that a $20,000 improvement wouldn't do it, so they ended up replacing it. But there's still money left over from this budget, which we want to transfer to the tower fund because we're still doing some work this year. We'll have to tear down the old one. They're putting up fences. They're spending money to move all the equipment. So we want to keep that money and transfer it over. The next project is we had budgeted money in 2013 to just do the waterproofing of this building on two sides. They started to do the project, and then when the budget was approved to redo the whole building, they said, we're going to stop, we're going to do all four sides, we're going to do the whole outside of the building, new roof, this is the unspent money, we'll just transfer it in to be used to finish the remodeling of this building. HVAC equipment, over the past 2 years, we did a lot of hundreds of thousands of dollars of replacement of HVAC equipment at Brookside and the PSB. There's $12,000 left over in that fund. We didn't really budget much for 2014, but there's a bunch of other equipment that's going to need to be replaced, probably at KCC. You'll see it in the 2015 budget. So we'll carry that money over and hold it there and use it for anything we have to do for HVAC equipment. The next project is the money left over from the parking structure. That's a project that started in 2004. It's finally done, and there is...
It's done, Mark.
Really? It's done.
Really?
It's done. And there's $18,000, so we want to keep that money and carry it over for other parking projects, most notably the one that we talked about before. That's $18,000. And that's the one. That's where I stop for now, Kathy.
Well, you can do the next. Oh, then Brookside, they had money for asphalt seal coating. It was not completed due to inclement weather. That's $6,000. And also, they want to carry over the money they had to purchase cafe equipment. And that's $3,390. They didn't purchase it in 2013. Then, Jim, you take the second.
Didn't buy the suit.
Yeah, the items on top of the next page. It was a pretty bad winter for the highway department on equipment and on the people and on supplies. The first three items there, it's levy money. We need extra money in 2014 to cover operating supplies, that $52,000. We have plows for $5,200. We've got wheels for $11,000. We have blades for $14,000. And springs for $18,000. All that's going to have to be replaced. Our estimate is $52,000. Gas, we've already run up. Well, we'll spend more than our gas budget, so we'll need the $75,000. And then the next item, inventory shop materials, is salt. We're going to need to go into next season with 6,500 tons of salt. We have 1,500, so we're going to have to buy 5,000. We've already pretty much spent this year our budget almost, and there's only 1,500 tons left. And when we buy 5,000 tons at what's going to be a little over $300,000, just do that. So we're going to need to take some money out of reserves and stash it away. Otherwise, we'll go into the beginning of the year with all salt. How much salt do we use? We usually use about 7,500 tons. We use double that this past year.
11,800.
So that's what that money's for, to replenish salt and the supplies because of the winter. And also, the next three items that total up to about 50,000. In 2013, we had purchased some one-ton units, some safety edging equipment, a commissioner's / foreman vehicle, and we underspent the budget. And we'd like to just hold on to that money and transfer it over into and use it in any of those categories if we have to replace some equipment that was damaged this winter that we really don't know what it is. I don't want to call it cushion, but something's going to happen. We'll have to replace some wings or plows or something that because of the damage this year. So that's those bottom three items there that are $5,000 to $19,000.
Just a question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Gary, through the chair to Gary, how do we do with the state reimbursement? Are we getting reimbursed from them properly for all the plowing activity we did this winter around?
Yeah, we're getting 100% reimbursement for all the labor and equipment and the materials, the salt they purchased themselves and had it delivered to our site. So we're complete reimbursement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. Anything further, Kevin?
Yes, the administrative
This resolution part, we have one other piece that's here for, it just needs finance committee approval, so we need two separate motions.
The last page?
Yeah.
All right, on the resolution, is there anything?
One question on the, on salt, I mentioned we're way over. If this is money we're carrying over, just trying to understand, if we've gone over our expenses, how are we carrying it to 14? The other ones are, seem like they're, you know, they're money left over, this is like we've went over. Director, am I thinking about it wrong?
Normally, in that, in the highway fund, or in the last few years, actually, we've been able to lapse money from the highway fund because of savings that they've made, and we won't be able to lapse, the money won't be lapsed, it'll be staying in the fund if you approve this, so it's been a, you know...
Yeah, you'll see that, and how we're funding that, and what the impact has on the general fund, when we go through the general fund.
Okay.
Within those line items, they're not overspent, they're just even, but there has been some surplus in other areas.
You're earmarking it already towards...
Replenish.
You can see the source says reserves instead of that exact account.
Okay.
So it's coming from the fund balance of the...
You will be at the county board to respond to questions and perhaps some... All right, anything further on the resolution? Yes.
On some of the repairs and things like that, you may not know for 4 months from now, 6 months from now, what the damages might total actually.
We have to evaluate all of our equipment. Yeah, we haven't even dismounted. We still have all the plows and spreaders at home because there's still that small chance that we could still get some snow this year. So we haven't begun to evaluate equipment.
Understand.
I don't barricade that.
I've seen snow maybe before.
I'm going to pretend he didn't say that.
I wish I didn't have to, but I do.
All right, anything further?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We'll circulate that. Now, the last page, what should you want?
So, these are carryovers that only need finance committee approval. They don't need to go to the board. And I'll have Jim Kupfer go through those, these also.
Yeah, there's the first two items on here. In the 2013 budget, we had plans out of Kenosha County Center to replace the base that's around the HVAC unit. They repaired it a couple times. And then also in that building, they were going to put a separate HVAC unit for the IT room, a new one. And we just decided not to do either of those until we complete the studies of the needs for what are the capacities, what do we need to replace. We talked a little bit earlier in the resolution about doing that study. So we'll just take this money and hold it in this, in our HVAC fund, because we know something's going to be eventually replaced. So that's $23,000. We won't spend it on those two items. And you'll probably see in the 2015 budget replacement of the KCC HVAC unit. And then there was $2,000 left over from the parking lot that we did fix back here that we'll just carry over and use for other parking lot funds. That's those three items.
He's writing the candidate.
All right, what's the committee's pleasure here?
Move to approve it.
Is there a second?
Afterthought, Jeff.
Did someone?
Second.
All right. Discussion on these items? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, that takes care of that and brings us down to the reports. Al, do you have a finance report?
Yeah, we're gonna go through the, Kathy's gonna go through the financial report, and then as part of the closeout, I think she'll also go through the general fund report, and typically that's attached to the resolution.
I'm looking at the large print or the large paper.
Mm.
These are our financial statements for the closeout of 2013. They haven't been audited yet, of course. They're a draft. But we wanted to show you some of the highlights of 2013. The first page is a balance sheet of half of our funds. The other funds are on the next page. The first column is the general fund. And I get to tell you some good news at this case. I don't have to. The first column, if you look, we have the assets on top, $57,009,000. Then we have the liabilities. But then the last section is what, you know, a lot of concern is the health of the county. We look at the general fund. We have some things we have to reserve that are non-spendable, the prepaid expense, $83,000. The delinquent taxes, we have to pull out $7.8 million. And Al will talk about that in his report a little bit more. There's encumbrances of $123,000, carryovers of $947,000, and we have an unassigned balance, which is means this is what's available for any use of $11,400,000. So that's higher than last year, and we'll tell you in the next report how we've got there, how we got there, and how that increased. If you can see, the 17% of our expenses is 9.8, so we're definitely over that 17% threshold in our unassigned fund balance. Then the next funds, there, social services, the human services came out pretty even. Except the health department had some money, like $240,000, they were able to lapse to the general fund. The human services include social services, health, and Brookside. And then as far as the capital projects, if you can see on the first page, Fund 411, that says CP Gen. That's where all our projects, the smaller projects are. We're carrying over $2.2 million, and we've gone through those. Are a lot of that are automated carryovers that the capital projects just weren't completed yet, but we've identified all of that money is all identified and has projects to go with it. And then on the second page we have the proprietary funds, so Brookside, Brookside, we were able to lapse $459,000 into the general fund. So, also in Al's report, I'll explain that most of that comes from the health insurance savings and vacancies. So that was another factor of improving the general fund. The highway, like I explained, the highway came out pretty even. They don't really have anything to lapse because we approved these carryovers, they're going to be able to use that. Instead of transferring money from the general fund to cover SALT, they were able to use their surplus and keep that right in the fund and fund those projects or that those materials that we need. The health insurance, we have a $1.5 million cushion there, reserve for the health insurance. And also the other one I want to point out is the golf course. We have a surplus of $50,000, and we know that in prior years we've had deficits there. We're up and running there. The $54,000 will stay in that fund, and it's to cover golf equipment. That's part of the adopted budget resolution. That can stay in there.
Yeah. I thought we changed that.
No, golf course is still in that fund.
Right. So we're
Brookside.
To the good, $54,000.
Yes, for the good.
And it's good that they start out the year with some positive funds.
On the second two pages of that large is the income statement, and it just, I'm not going to go through each thing except the general fund. You can see the revenues and the expenditures. We have excess revenue of $2 million there. So our next report will show how we come up with that. But you can look at this at another time and see how each fund did. I don't know if there's any questions on any of this.
Do we show sales tax on here somewhere?
Sales tax is actually in the taxes.
In the taxes, okay.
But we have that number. Al has that on this other report. We can go to the next report, I think. It might explain more and you might have more questions. It's a report called 2013 General Use.
Can I call before we move on to that? Do you attribute that to more revenues coming in, or is this cutting costs?
Well, out of a $2.8 million budget, that's like pretty much coming close, you know, I don't know if Jim wants to talk more about that, but it's coming even almost because it's not a huge amount of money, but it's not a deficit. But I don't know if you have...
For golf.
Yeah, golf.
Yeah, last, the revenues in 2013 were about, these are rough, about $2.8 million. In 2012, the revenues were $2.9 million. So revenue dollars went down about approximately $100,000. The rounds went from, they went down 7%. It's like about 88,000 rounds, I think, was last year's number. And the savings come from savings. Really, in two places. There's been some investments made in irrigation and investments made in cart paths, which were two really large maintenance items. And it's paying off in less maintenance expenses in 2013. That's probably the biggest savings. And they're also, he's getting very good at managing his personnel. If it rains or he doesn't need the people there, he will send them home. So he's gotten very good at doing that. It's, I think it's just a combination of better management, despite a crummier year, you know, rounds-wise.
On the same page, business unit 10, what does it refer to?
That's the Kulik Trust, and it's part of Brookside. It's a permanent, that permanent trust that can use the Brookside nursing home. So we have a separate fund to, you know, to keep it.
I go through the general fund report. You guys are just seeing this a lot. But this is how we basically went from 10.2 million to 11.4 million. And the top half basically shows where we generated increase, things that caused increase, general fund to increase. The bottom half are things that affected the general fund negatively. Health insurance, vacancy, sales tax, all that positive impact. We had some additional child support revenue, circuit court, register deeds revenue was up 81,000. Human services had some additional revenue from different sources. Share of food and groceries was basically, we had some saving there. Federal inmate revenue was 19,000. Highway revenue, we actually had some net additional revenue there. And then in facilities, we had surpluses and utilities, building equipment and fence and building repairs. And then miscellaneous surpluses for departments, kind of a basic plus. I try to pick out the items that are over 50,000 for this report. And then on the negative side, treasury revenue was down 550,000. Human services, medical examiner was had additional expenses of 65,000. Placement, residential placements was had exceeded expenses 130. Here, dads, pharmaceutical and outpatient overspent by 291. The extension of the drug court reduced the general fund by 52. Prisoner and phone revenue and pharmaceutical revenue or pharmaceutical expense in the sheriff department. Liability insurance, our incurred but not reported claims from the actuary came in much higher than anticipated. Increased tax delinquencies, our delinquencies went up substantially, and not substantially, but last year we had seen a trend where they reversed down by a couple $100,000. This year they went back up. The DOA $100,000, which was in the resolution where we're using reserves to fund that additional class and comp study and a replenishment of the salt and the supplies through the adverse winter are things that reduce the bottom line.
If I could ask on the salt, if the dollars are available because it's surplus they have in their budget that isn't coming to the general fund, why are we showing it as a negative here?
Because the real result, in the way I show it, most of their savings that they had within their budget was in salaries and health insurance and some of those other things, and I try to itemize those bigger dollars of where the savings came from.
So you have those savings in some other category?
I have them up in the other category, mostly up here in the health insurance and the vacancy. Most of their savings was in the personnel, which meant their budget wasn't out of balance, but they didn't have any additional dollars to, you had to pull money from somewhere in reserve. So basically their money, the savings was in the personnel.
Gotcha. And then in the comp study, have we not started that at all?
We went out for RFPs.
Okay.
We determined that the scope of the study is much larger given the fact that we don't have unions, so it's going to be a market-based study. Some additional dollars.
Fair enough, thank you.
I just wanted to point out that, you know, Kathy mentioned in her report that we're over the 17%, we're at 19.81%. The general fund is over at 17% by 1.6 million. If not for the delinquencies, and we like to report this because our baseline delinquencies in 2005 were about 3.2 million, they're about 7.8 million. If not for the delinquencies, and if we ever see those delinquencies start coming down, we would be at, on a historical basis, our general fund would be at almost 28%.
If I could ask the question, then what's our realistic outlook for collection of these delinquencies?
Well, this year was, last year our delinquencies went down. I was just looking at that historical. This year they went back up to $500,000. We're hoping the trend continued. So 1 year, what did it go down by? $250,000 last year?
The year before.
The year before, and this year it went up by
560.
But, so, I mean, you have to assume that it's good money, which we've talked about before, but let's just look at and say in the next couple of years we collect $2.5 million, right? As the economy continues to improve, as I think we all believe it is, at some point in time, we have a general fund that I think personally is outside of sort of what we had established with the 17%. We have got some guidelines in place that allow us to use certain amount over and above that 17% to offset the next year's budget within certain parameters. Worst case scenario, we collect, if we're typically, historically we're at 3.2, that's $4.5 million over and above. What happens if, just for sake of discussion, that all comes in and we've got a general fund that is, in my opinion, a number that is excessive? Do we look at...
You'd probably want to use that for one-time expenditure things.
That's my concern.
Okay.
That's exactly what my concern is.
He doesn't want to.
I mean, I advocated at the time we brought the 17% resolution forward that we have to, that the impetus for me behind it was, we can't just keep saying our general fund's growing. We ought to be giving that money back to the taxpayer because ultimately that's where we got it.
But if you take the reserve, if you take the general fund reserves and use reserves to fund the budget, the next year to fund at the same level, it creates a hole unless you have the same amount of reserves to put in your budget the next year. So that's why you use it for one-time expenditures. In lieu of a bonding for a capital item, you may pay for it with reserves, and that's how you give it back.
Well, maybe it's just...
But it's going to be a good decision for the Finance Committee to make in the future.
Let's hope so, yeah. Thank you.
Similar question, similar vein. How do the bond agencies view our delinquency rate? What type of eye do they cast upon it?
I don't think they knew historically that the delinquency rates nationwide were going up. They didn't overly take that. They thought our general fund should still be higher than the 17%, even though we get our benchmark and comparable with other counties at if we're eventually going to hire, push for higher bond ratings.
Let me rephrase that. I'll put it in different. Do they basically prorate it? Do they give you credit as you're going to probably collect a certain percentage of that? Do they play it as an average?
Well, we show that we collect, eventually we collect 99% of those delinquents.
Historically.
It takes like 3 or 4 or 5 years, okay. And then we're at 99%. But they do frown on, the increase, but we've gone down, the increase has gone down from the peak of 2008, and now it's popped up again. It'd be a couple of developments that are sold, you know, out in the county, and, you know, we're fine again, so.
But that was one of the issues that they hit us with this year, the last rating, right?
Yeah, that was one of the issues, and the other was in comparable counties, because they're trying to get that, and Mike's better speaking at this than I am, is the, you know, benchmarking us and benchmarking us at 17% in comparison with comparable counties in the state. People that were at our bond rating had a little higher general fund, even though they may have had the same delinquencies. They very well know that you're getting 18% on your money. That's liquid funds. You could sell your delinquencies and generate cash if you needed. So they're very well aware that it's basically money in the bank. They also look at the economy and your local real estate sales and how the economy is, knowing that you're going to eventually collect that.
Thank you.
Isn't it tax delinquency, we're looking at 3 years previous. Sales will come in August, the bulk of the sales. If they don't pay it up, somebody will buy it.
You're saying going to tax sale.
Right. But we've seen quite a bit of it coming forward this past year, but that's from 3 years ago. So these little dips are up and down.
Are you speaking of tax deeding or tax, what do you mean by the 3 years? The certificate's all in that 1 year.
Any collections that are,
yeah,
that happened 3 years ago.
But this is delinquent, whether it's, you know, back in January, there was three, you know, whether they're 2 years, 10 months delinquent, or whether they're 2 months delinquent. This is total delinquency.
This is total cumulative.
Total cumulative.
Yeah, it's not just the new year.
I see it come down.
Well, for the delinquency, though, it would be interesting to see a report from the treasurer as to what years. I mean, there's obviously properties that are more than 3 years behind.
Right.
I would think that tax collection plans for whatever. So I think it would be interesting to have her give us a report that showed what years are delinquent. Like, if they go back 6 years, there's this, 5 years, 4 years, 3 years.
She has brought that report in the past to the committee, and we can have her come in the next
month. Are any of those delinquencies we have, are they any of those properties already tax deeded, and are they part of that?
No. We account for it separately. We have a separate.
Taxated properties are completed separate from this. Okay.
Yeah, those get moved.
I thought it was, but I couldn't remember. It's been a while.
But we can have her come in the future, in the next month or two, once we get
it. And she's got the big ones, who she's working with, you know, and what's the chance of collecting her? Well, man, there's a lot of warehouses that are empty all across the street.
That's still floating out there.
Anything further?
I just wanted to thank the committee. It was nice working with you guys the last 2 years. But I think there's some significant things here that the committee has done. You know, in 2011, when we closed the books, the general fund was at $8 million. You know, today it's, and that was 12%. Today we're at $11.4 million and at 19%. So I think it's a major accomplishment, given the fact that our last, you know, I know you did the 14 budget, and we won't know the impact on the general fund. But just the same, the 2012 budget was a 1.88% increase. The 13 was a zero, and we were still able to increase the general fund given the economic times. And I speak for David and myself that we enjoyed working with this committee, and your support made these things happen. Thank you.
Well, you thank you. Very good reports, and I think the committee appreciates your work as well as Dave's, and worked quite cooperatively on a lot of big issues that could have been very controversial. But perhaps the committee made it look easy, but it was only because of a desire to act professionally and work in the best interest of the community. Thank you, Kathy.
That's true.
All right, any other reports here that you want to review? I see there's a sheriff's overtime report. Bill, do you have something on that?
I'd like to touch on through the chair, through the chief deputy, or Nancy Otis. I see there's a footnote on through payroll six. We have one administration release special vacancy, and we have one vacancy in a correction officer. Is that where we're at currently? Where are we at the moment?
As a matter of fact, we have people lined up to bring on the starting dates. So probably within the next 2 weeks, probably next 3 weeks, end of this month, we'll have everybody, every position filled with vacancies. Four and three overhires.
Which is in the bullpen as we anecdotally call it.
Yes, and but as we know with jail, a lot of staff to be bringing in. But we are making great headway with that. And, so part of the reason I think the state reports are going to be that there's been a decline in the future as far as we've been able to close a dorm here. Our population is down. We've got 30 out on electronic monitoring. So that serves an impact. We have over 200 out that are not in jail on 1 day of pretrial program, which is the WCS work, 165, and the other are electronic monitoring in the work group, which keeps them out of jail. So, and that's money we're not spending for feed, that's money we're not for medical costs, and anything else. So, I think as we get more out on electronic monitoring, there's even a greater impact.
Okay. And then just one follow up. There's a footnote on the first payroll period. If I'm saying this correctly, there was a in-service was held and that did something to the overtime?
In-service is between the first payroll through the seventh payroll.
Oh, it's inclusive of those?
Every year, yes.
Okay.
Right.
So we're going to see that?
First payroll through the seventh.
Each and every year we'll see that. Okay, so yes. That is consistent yes. Then from year
yes,
to year.
Yes, it is. All right. Correct.
Those are my questions, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. And thank you to keeping on top of this and thank you for the time and focus. I appreciate that.
That was the thanks. All right, anything else on the overtime report? Done the general fund balance, public works inquiry here of the directors. When we were talking about golf, we haven't heard anything recently about the restaurant did or takeover of the restaurant, alcohol, food. Yes. Well, where is that now?
We had two responses.
Ron, we've got a report here. If you want to take it outside, that's fine.
Not yet.
The results of the RFP came back. We had two respondents. One of the respondents is the same respondent that put in an application or a response the year prior, and then one which has kind of financials based on a profit over their expenses, which kind of means to us if they spend more, they get more profit, which doesn't seem advantageous to the county to allow to make more profit the more they spend, we are in the process of doing some good due diligence on researching the backgrounds of the companies, the offers, and they just don't. We don't have. Not sure. We don't want to say something's going to work if it's not, and we don't want to say that it's not going to work if it is going to work. So we're just, I think, looking at the options and find out.
So with the golf season coming up, when is this all going to be wrapped up for golf? I think it was really the clear intent of the resolution that issue be wrapped up by this next golf season, which, well, we're in it.
We cannot make a recommendation at this time that we believe is going to benefit the golf courses.
Maybe we have motion to bundle it with the joint services.
The software.
Get the whole thing in 2015.
Well, let's put a finer point on it.
Yeah.
Is it a safe statement to say that what you know going forward is time, that the operation of the services at both Petrifying Springs and Brightondale's will be much the same as it was last year?
Yes.
They will be.
Well, I think we ought to, just so, I think this is one of those issues there needs to be closed on one way or the other, because we do have an outstanding resolution, and politicians have notorious short memories. We passed the resolution, and we certainly forgot about it until I just brought it up, and the light bulb flashed in the room. Why don't we put it on the, Al, you could put that on the next agenda, regardless of who the committee is, they can still review it. That needs to have some closure one way or the other on it. So why don't your staff be prepared to make some recommendations, discuss it, including the issue of how do we sell liquor there? I mean, that's how we got into this whole thing, was how do we sell liquor there and make some more money?
Is it all right if I check with Supervisor Elverman, because, or whoever the committee, I think it was in the purview of the Highway and Parks Committee, and I don't want to put it on the Finance Committee agenda without, let me talk to whoever the chairman of the committee is, and then I'll get back to you.
All right, because I think we need to have closure on this.
I understand.
Was there any discussion Monday night about it at all? Were you at the meeting?
It was brought up, the same thing. Basically, it was just kind of announcement that there was some questioning about why maybe we didn't get a lot of different responses, although we tried. We had went out for bids. We advertised this a lot more than we do a standard kind of RFP. Actually, found companies and individually mailed them stuff. It was believed basically that sales, food sales, beer sales is about $500,000 for someone to come in and take over operations at two different golf courses, and at a margin of maybe 10%, 20%, you're talking at $50,000, $100,000 for all that staff, all that time at two different golf courses. That is probably not as attractive. Get someone in there. Certainly not a big operation. There's kind of some labor to it. So, I'm not sure why. I mean, we tried to get people to respond, and we just didn't. And what we're working with, we're not very excited about.
Well, and just then we can talk about this at the next meeting, or the committee can. The object, again, was the liquor. It wasn't to outsource the food and liquor. Right. That was merely in response to at least what I think was a very belated opinion that county could not serve liquor because we couldn't get a liquor license. And I have some skepticism of all of that, because the way that is charted was a long time ago under County Executive Keel, who never wanted service of liquor out there at all, because of he was receiving from other competitors. So, I mean, how do we accomplish the result that we want liquor served out there because it'll make us more money? We have to be competitive.
And we may have to relook at it as bundling it with the food, or I guess that's the option. Obviously, that's the most sales, so we may have to look at other alternatives.
But you're going to get back to me.
Yeah.
I don't think you're ever going to get anybody to take it. I'll tell you why. Because if somebody opens a restaurant and a bar, that's the thing where they make their profit on the food and the bar, and employees cross over. I don't think you're going to get anybody to take over just liquor. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I think it's obvious reason. It's a competitive.
That would have been, they could have proposed that this time. If somebody wanted to come in and just sell liquor the way that we went out for the RFQ the second time, that would have been an option. People could have come in with that option.
Would take it
and
over
no one did. Just selling liquor. If somebody wanted to propose just selling liquor, they could have done it.
this time.
But the businesses, like they, Brightondale, whatever, they got fire and food. So they make their money on a, I don't think it's going to happen just out there selling liquor.
Money's in the liquor.
Money's in the liquor, of course.
Money's in liquor.
Yeah, as long as you got employees that pour it right and don't, it's hard to police that, too.
All right, are there any other reports here that you want to make, Al, or bring to our attention? The, another issue that I think perhaps the committee ought to take a look at the next meeting is our, this issue of county health report card. You know, we've spent and we've dealt with that issue at the finance committee level in a number of ways. If you recall, we heard some people deal with the premature births that's mentioned here. And we talked about binge drinking and its effect, drunk driving. We've talked about those kinds of issues, but there's many related issues. I think that's something that ought to be placed on the agenda, Al, for at least for the next meeting, and maybe invite the health director to talk about that. It's very timely. That report came out and publicized this month in the Belch News. Is there anything else for good and welfare of the committee?
Also, no. I'd like to carry over to the next standing committee of this group here, the overtime report for sheriff. It seems like we're making some progress on this, but oftentimes it's more consistent and better progress when there's someone watching over it and keeping tabs on it. So please, if we could have that as an agenda, I would appreciate that.
All right, anything further?
Mr. Chairman, just a comment to yes. Thank you for what I thought was a very well-conducted 2 years of meetings, inclusive yep. of our budget deliberations in particular. I think your approach to it has always been one that's been well-regarded. So I've had a good time here with the committee. I'll certainly miss all of the fun and excitement that goes on from time to time. But you're to be commended, and I would what I want to just touch on briefly here is the, and I'll talk about it Tuesday night as well, the high impact fund. And I thought I had some numbers here, but maybe I didn't bring them with me. You know, if you look at that, and I think, Al, I know Dave provided them to me, so I'm assuming they provided to the full county board, and maybe this would be a timely opportunity to take a look. We've spent about $2.5 million. I'm going to go off of memory here, if I can. $2.5 million in that high impact fund. Leveraged some $58 million in capital development in Kenosha County, and some 1,100 jobs, I believe, with a salary of just under $50,000 annual salary. So if there's something that I think we should all be pointing to as an example of cooperation, working together with a number of agencies throughout Kenosha County, that is certainly where we ought to be looking. And I'm going to urge you to continue that. You know, now is the worst time to say, I think we've done all we can do. Because clearly, I'd spend $2.5 million all day long to leverage it the way we have in Kenosha County, and there's a reason why we get the reports that we do and the statements that we do about economic development, how to be a driver with economic development, other communities looking to Kenosha County as a leader and example of how to do things right. We have phenomenal people in the places we need them, with Todd Battle and the entire board at CABA that continues to revolve with very, very good, very, very qualified people. And if there is anything that this committee and the future county board can do to continue this, I think we need to do it. The county executive's committed to it. I know Supervisor Rose, you're committed to it and have been as chairman of this committee. It's just something at this point in time that we shouldn't give up on. Very close to the development world, obviously. We're seeing significant improvement right now across the board. And that's really when I think you got to hit it as not harder than you have, because there's real, real opportunities out there. You've got such problems south of the border here in the state of Illinois. And the more we continue to take advantage of those types of situations, where companies are looking for good, locations to build their factories, I think we ought to be a part of it. We've got partners like Gateway Technical College and Lakeview Technology Academy with Kenosha Unified. They are pumping out kids, graduates, who are exactly what these companies are looking for. High-skilled, high-tech, well-paying jobs. So hats off to all of us for continuing that effort, and I'm going to urge you, when the executive and the administration board, Mr. Battle, comes forward and says, look, here's where we're at, here's who we have on the line, we're out of money, which I believe we are, Al, is that right?
I'm not sure, I'm not that close.
You know, in terms of what we've committed, right, just be open-minded to looking at that again. And so, again, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I would say to, although it's maybe none of my business, to the incoming chairman, you'll have a lot of decisions to make, but I think the first one, which would be the best one, would to keep Supervisor Rowe chairman of this committee. There's an awful lot for him to bring to the table, an awful lot for him to offer. So.
Here, here.
Thank you all. I appreciate the fun.
All right, well, does anybody else have anything to say? Mark, Bill.
Just one thing. Thanks for youth and governance. To yourself, Patrick, to Maddie, I know a lot of this stuff was probably a bit over your head. Some boring at times, maybe a little bit more entertaining than you thought. We didn't have these administration. But just your due diligence and your ability to start something, carry it through to the end, and be a part of it, I think it speaks both well for you and your school and for just youth in general. So thanks for being a part
good
of it.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
And in the end, we don't always get along, but we get things done for the right reasons.
Yeah.
And Mark, I think the committee wants to express their thanks to you for your 20 years of service.
Just about. Almost.
Which is a milestone. Not too many people on the county board serve that long. But we appreciate your contributions. You're always willing to ask the tough questions. You've been able to keep people on their toes. You're always willing to dissent if dissent is necessary. It's many times easier to say yes and to be in the minority and say no, but we appreciate your scrutiny of the issues and your willingness to stick your neck out. Not too many people are willing to do that. I hope someone will take your place and ask those tough questions in the future. So,
thank you.
Thank you. Nothing further. I'll entertain a motion to
so moved.
Adjourn second. This last meeting of this finance debate.
So moved.
He moved that second.
Very good. All those in favor,
aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.
You know, it occurred to me tonight.
Good luck. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, yeah.